ready to go. Ready to go. Good morning. It is Thursday, September the 5th of 2024. I am Chad Holmes. The time is 9:07. It is the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up at 9:34 this morning, we'll hear a conversation with Newman Catholic High School senior offensive and defensive lineman Evan Graney. He was one of our guests last night on the Big High School Sports Show. Going to bring back part of that conversation here later this morning at 9:34. Right now, again, it's starting to brighten up just a little bit. The rain is, I think, almost stopped, if it not stopped already, outside our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Across the way, across the glass, and pushing all the buttons, making sure I am on the air properly, is Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I know it's a short work week, but I'm still ready for the weekend. It's only the third day of the work week, but it's like, I can't wait for the weekend to get here. I don't know why recently it's been, I need that little bit of extra time, and I'm not getting it right now. It's a very busy time, but any plans as we get closer and closer to the weekend?
Not really anything like too big. I mean, I know it's supposed to be a little cooler this weekend, but I'm hoping I can get out some. I maybe take a walk around the neighborhood. I do some reading outside. Just take it easy over the weekend. I know in a couple of weeks I'll be very busy with a theater again because I'm involved with the Center Stage Abandoned Show Choir's annual show. It takes place at the end of September. Those are always very exciting shows. I'm hoping that we can get some cast members from Center Stage on this show when the Tech Week comes around to help get the word out. Because Center Stage is a really fun show. It does a different theme every year. This year is a stage, screen, and in between. So basically it's any song that's been on a television, on the theater stage, or on the movie screen. So it's a very big variety. And the best part is these shows are absolutely free. Absolutely, because we get most of our money from doing fundraising and advertising so that we can provide a free show for everybody in the city of Wausau, even outside, because we want the magic of the theater had to be available to everybody and not just the people who can afford it.
Fantastic. Yep, we'll definitely try to keep the word out there, and we try to keep the word out there for all the productions going on. It really is important. And, of course, this week, public schools opening up after Labor Day, and yesterday afternoon heard, again, tragic news out of Georgia, a school shooting right at the start of the new school year, and it's heartbreaking. 2 14-year-old students and 2 teachers were killed yesterday at Apalachee High School in Winder, Georgia. 9 other people, 8 students and 1 teacher, were wounded and hospitalized, all of whom are expected to survive. The suspect, a 14-year-old student at the school, and his father were questioned regarding online threats to commit a school shooting. The suspect, Colt Gray, will make his first court appearance on Friday, according to the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice. Gray will appear in a virtual hearing, though the timing of that hearing is still unclear. He was transferred to the Gainesville Youth Detention Center in the overnight hours. Though Gray will be charged as an adult, he is being held in juvenile custody right now because he is a juvenile. The gun used in Wednesday's shooting was an AR Platinum weapon an AR platform weapon, according to the director of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. A law enforcement official told CNN it was an AR-15 style rifle. The suspect, as I said, will be charged with murder and tried as an adult, and he will be in court coming up on Friday. Students are saying this morning that they're trying to support each other today. According to CNN, a 16-year-old Layla Sireth, who was sitting next to the 14-year-old suspect in algebra yesterday, told CNN this morning she plans to see her friends and check up on them today. She said the suspect left the room prior to the shooting. She said he skips class usually, so you never really know where he's going. When the suspect returned near the end of the class, he knocked to get back in. Another student went to open the door, but the girl said that they noticed the gun and did not open the door. She said the shooter went to the classroom next door and opened fire.
Absolutely a tragic.
And something, again, that is so infuriating when it comes to situations like this. Brian Kemp is the governor of the state of Georgia. And, of course, he was out front answering questions about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the governor was asked a question about how to make Georgia schools safer from gun violence.
A good question.
It is a good question. And he answered, quote, "This is not the day to talk about safety or policy. We need thoughts and prayers for the victims, law enforcement, and educators," end quote.
That's not a good answer.
But that's the playbook. There is a playbook for these situations for those on the far right. In the aftermath of any school shooting, always, number one, talk about thoughts and prayers. Number one, always thoughts and prayers. And never address the actual gun safety issues. And they always say, well, today's not the time to talk about it. Well, when is the time to talk about it? Because that's always what they say. Today's not the time. You know, let's just worry about the victims, which, of course, we all are doing. But you can also try to make sure that there's no more victims in the future. So the idea that now is not the time. Now is always the time in the aftermath of this shooting. So for the governor of Georgia to say, no, now is not the time to talk about how we can make our schools safer from gun violence. This is not the day to talk about safety or policy. What days, 365 or 366 days a year should be the days to talk about safety or policy?
Absolutely.
Because that's the job of people like the governor of that state or the governor of any state, a job of a senator or congressperson or the president of the United States. There are not days where you don't talk about safety or policy or don't think about safety or policy. That is just ridiculous. And at what point are we going to stop allowing them to say today's not the day to talk about it? You know,
I mean, it's absolutely infuriating. I completely agree with you, because, you know, if you don't talk about ways to fix the problem, what do you think is going to happen? The problem is just going to solve itself and you're not going to do anything about it? That is not going to happen. If we want to protect these kids, we have to act now, and we have to have regulations. We have to make changes so this doesn't keep happening over and over, because these school shootings are getting more frequent every year. And not just like a couple times a year, it's happening multiple times. And every time I see this on the local news, it ticks me off and I have to hit something, just not actually just in my head.
And there's ways of making things better. It's not about taking away everybody's guns, but there should be some policies put in place where 14-year-olds are not carrying automatic weapons around. And again,
we shouldn't be giving guns to kids at all.
But there are discussions that should be had. The idea of today is not the day to talk. Well, today is the day to talk. Today is the day to bring all the folks involved to talk about how we can make things better and safer for the students. So again, that obviously was one of the huge stories in the country yesterday. Also wanted to touch briefly about history. And again, at the end of the show, we'll have our daily history lesson. But there is, I think, a war against real history, a war against accurate history. And this week, and again, I don't even like talking about guys like Tucker Carlson, but Tucker Carlson's out there, and he's still out there on social media, and he's hosting his own show where people watch it. And he had a man on named Daryl Cooper. Daryl Cooper, who Tucker Carlson described as the best and most honest popular historian in the United States. This guy is not the best and most honest popular historian in the United States. This Daryl Cooper, according to Craig Calcaterra and his Cup of Coffee newsletter, proceeded to speak at length with Tucker Carlson about how Winston Churchill was the chief villain of World War II. He argued that Hitler, it's hard not to laugh at this stupidity, but this Cooper argued that Adolf Hitler only wanted peace after he invaded Poland, which he did not think would cause war, but that Churchill stubbornly refused to make peace. He then argued that everything that happened after that, including the Holocaust, was merely an accident and a function of Hitler, an inherently reasonable man, according to this historian, who has simply been misunderstood by history, being left with no choice due to Churchill's intransigence.
How dare you? How dare you think the Holocaust is just an accident? How dare you defend and a...
But I got a point to make here. The point, again, is about history. You can be, it's ridiculous what he says. But there is a right-wing push to either not talk about real history or skew real history. And it is causing major problems in this country. If you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. And if you don't know real history, it's even worse when you're telling lies about history. And that this guy has the gall to make Hitler into a victim and Churchill into the reason behind World War II and the Holocaust is just off the wall nuts. Okay, so we're going to try to give you some real historical tidbits coming up at the end of the show. The time is 9:18 with Ian Welsh. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. On Friday night, the Marathon High School football team begins CWC Large Play, traveling to Loyal Greenwood. Hear all the exciting action live on the Sports 2 stream of BullFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media Radio app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Marathon Football on WXCO is brought to you by Marathon Part City, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Brickner's of Little Chicago, County Materials, the People's State Bank, Marathon Cheese, the Dirks Group, Marathon Family Dentistry, the Marathon Athletic Club, Fisher Transportation, Morgan Sand and Gravel, Rip Falls Fabrication, and BS Taxidermy. It's Marathon at Loyal Greenwood in high school football. Friday, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7, live on the Sports 2 stream of BullFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app. The game will also air on tape delay following Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. With Ian Welsh, again, I am Chad Holmes, and It is the start of football season. Tonight is the first National Football League game of the campaign. The Super Bowl champion traditionally kicks off the season with a home game. And tonight, the Kansas City Chiefs will be hosting the Baltimore Ravens. And that game will kick off at 7 o'clock tonight on NBC. And, of course, the Packers tomorrow night on Peacock, only on Peacock. The streaming service will open up their season down in Brazil, taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, if you're somebody that likes playing the lottery, the numbers are starting to get up there. The Mega Millions will reach $740 million tomorrow night.
Nice.
There was no winner in Tuesday's drawing, so tomorrow's Mega Millions jackpot has risen to $740 million, which would not be enough to buy an NFL team, not even close to enough to buy an NFL team. There were multiple billions of dollars these days. I mean, that shows
might
again.
Be enough to buy a Porsche, though.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, absolutely. So, again, that is the lottery. Hey, again, we will come up later on in the program, the last segment, our daily history lesson, the number for the day quiz. Ian Welsh will take that quiz, as he does every day, to wrap up the show. So far this week, he is 1 out of 3, which is, you know, right on the cusp. You got to be at least 33% not to fail for the week. And we have 2 more days left, so he's got to make sure he gets at least one of the 2 final correct, or else he will be failing for the week. Yes. He has not failed for the week for a very long time, the last couple of months. So, again, every day we give him 3 choices based on the math. He should get 1 out of 3 correct. Would you like to know what the category is for today's number for the day?
Yes, I would. Please.
Hurricanes.
Ah, yes.
Hurricanes. Record hurricanes. So
I'm still waiting for them to name a hurricane after me. I know there was a Hurricane Ivan.
Oh,
but
I would think at some point there would be
a hurricane Ida. But I'm not sure there's been an Ian recently. I'm not saying that
you
hurricanes
know,
are a good thing.
But it's actually interesting that the hurricane that we're gonna talk about later in the show did start with the letter I. So that wasn't Hurricane Ian, but it was
a
hurricane that began with the letter I. And it'll be a question involving that hurricane. So actually,
it's actually very interesting.
You're wrong. You're wrong, Ian. You're wrong. There has been a Hurricane Ian.
Oh,
I just looked it up.
What year was it?
Hurricane Ian was a deadly and extremely destructive Category 5 Atlantic hurricane, which was the 3rd costliest weather disaster on record worldwide, the deadliest hurricane to strike the state of Florida since 1935's Labor Day hurricane occurred in 2022. Wow. So not too long ago, just a couple of years ago. So not only has there been a hurricane, Ian, it caused a whole lot of damage.
Well, that's not something for me to be proud of.
It says Ian caused widespread damage across western Cuba, Florida, and the Carolinas. Ian was the 9th named storm, 4th hurricane, and 2nd major hurricane of the 2022 hurricane season. And it was the first Category 5 hurricane, a very tough hurricane, in the Atlantic since Lorenzo in 2019. So
I think the most powerful hurricane that I remember and that I've heard about was Hurricane Katrina.
Yep.
Katrina was pretty bad. I don't know if it was in like the top 5, but it still caused a lot of damage.
20 years ago. Yeah, it's hard to believe. I remember when Katrina came, and it was, you know, it forced the New Orleans Saints to move their games out of New Orleans because of the damage was so bad to the Superdome. They had to rebuild the Superdome, and again, so it's very much horrible. But Hurricane Ian from 2022.
Hurricanes are the number of the day. Okay.
So it involves a hurricane.
Involves a hurricane.
Yeah, a hurricane. I'm giving even more information because I'm feeling so generous here coming up on our 2nd anniversary. And again, tomorrow it will be the 2nd anniversary of this show. We started it up on September the 6th of 2022. We've had so many great guests over the last 2 years. It's been terrific to be with you for these past 2 years. And tomorrow, again, I cannot tell you yet who this person will be. But we will be having a special guest tomorrow morning. I will be announcing it on my social media a little bit after 11 o'clock. So once I complete the interview, once we know for sure it's been done, it's going to be recorded. I'm going to be very careful not to lose it. And we are going to then announce it on my social media, on the 98.9 WXCO Facebook page. So again, if you're looking to see who our special guest tomorrow will be, just check out my social media and WXCO 98.9's Facebook page as well, and I will be announcing it. So not too long until we can finally let everybody know all about it tomorrow morning. The interview will air at the top of the second hour, just after the news update, just after 9:06. So again, make sure you're tuned in for the whole show, because it'll be a terrific 2-year celebration. But make sure you tune in just after 9 o'clock, 9:06, as we start the second hour off with this discussion tomorrow morning. So again, I'm very, very excited. Can't wait to do this interview coming up a little bit later on this morning, recording it, and then bring it to you tomorrow here on the program. So hopefully you'll be as excited as I am when we have this chance to talk to this person tomorrow morning. The time is 9:28. Coming up, we do have an information update with news, weather, and sports. And then we're going to come back and have a discussion that I had last evening on the Big High School Sports Show. Evan Graney, a senior from Newman Catholic High School, really a very impressive young man. We're going to hear that discussion coming up in just a few minutes. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on 98.9 WXCO. Every Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m., myself and former Wausau West football coach Jason Foster host the Big High School Sports Show. We get a chance to talk to area coaches and student athletes. And last night it was Newman Catholic senior lineman Evan Graney. And he was a big factor last week as the Cardinals, despite losing their starting quarterback and not having their backup quarterback, defeated Phillips 34-12. We started our conversation talking about that game and the challenge that when their quarterback was gone and they had to have a running back at QB that the Cardinals faced for the last quarter and a half.
Pressure situation that we were in, and me and Callow and Greg, we kind of just went to the side and we went, you know, we're gonna have Tristan Fisher came in at running back for a little bit, so we had some new guys coming in and we just knew we had to like keep it simple and then just run our offense. So we were just trying to keep everybody up and just trying to keep moving, and especially to score on that drive. I think we were in with like the 20-yard line or something like that, so it was really important that we punch that in and make it a 2-score game and then try to carry the momentum with us.
It's real interesting when the coach got in that drive, and in fact I remember it was the 17-yard line, and nothing against you but it was this, I just remember thinking you had to score on that drive, you had to score, and you actually did score, but then it was called back and you had to do it all over again. Again, it just felt like there were challenges thrown out there time and time again, and for that quarter and a half I thought you guys executed as well as possible. Was that the feeling as well, that you guys really dug in and proved something to yourselves here early in the new season?
It was really awesome to just see kind of everybody go around and just kind of come together, and especially that quarter and a half, like you said, it was just awesome to just pedal to the metal and just everything was clicking. You know, we had that one touchdown call back, but then I think, I don't know, it was a play after, we scored again. So we were getting a little bit of adversity, but we kept overcoming it. We just kept pushing through and making play after play.
So in that instance, last Saturday, like, it's all emotion, right? Like, the guy who's been your guy all summer long, all off season, is not your guy anymore.
Yeah.
So now the dust has settled and the emotion's gone, and he's not back probably this week. So what is it like now? Like, when you're giving it more thought and you guys are preparing for this week, what emotions, thoughts, like, how have you and your teammates communicated? Like, now that you have a whole week to plan without having him there, what's the mindset?
It's really nice because Griff, he played running back, but he was our kind of JV quarterback a little bit too. So Griff kind of has a good idea. He's got a good head on his shoulders for like knowing what a quarterback needs to do. So we're just kind of there to support him, help him make plays here and there, and the mindset is, you know, Phillips is a, or not Phillips, Almond's a tough team, but just to keep pushing and that we know we can win.
And that's Griffin Pent. For those folks out there who don't follow the cards as closely as we do all the time, the running back slash now quarterback for the Newman Catholic Cardinals. I want to talk a little bit more big picture now as we start the new year. You're just one game into the new season. Mm-hmm. A year ago, Newman came in with nobody starting. I mean, no starters returning at all in the position that they played in. And coming off a couple of state championships, and there's always, I think, that carryover for people to say, oh, it's Newman Catholic. But last season, nobody was back. I mean, it was really, I thought, an amazing accomplishment for your team to be able to make the playoffs. You started off with a couple of really tough teams, including the eventual state champion.
Yep.
And then the rest of the season, in the regular season, you lost only one game, the game to Almond Bancroft.
Mm-hmm.
But this season, now, as I said, you're back. You have a number of other players that are back. You have your entire offensive line back, you know, working together again. How is it different going into maybe the summer, going into training camp this year with that experience than it was maybe last year, where there are a lot of question marks around your team?
Yeah, I think last year it was all kind of like this big puzzle that we kind of put together as the year went on. And like Greg, Callow, and myself, our three linemen, we all kind of were never on the same. We were eventually, as the season went on the same page more. But for those first couple games, we were really kind of like lost. The game felt really fast, especially to me. I just felt kind of really behind, and people were moving just crazy fast. And then going into this first game against Phillips, it kind of felt like, for me, like everything kind of like slowed down a lot more, especially with I've been playing more. It's felt like it slowed down a lot more, and it kind of like allowed me to just think before I like moved, and it kind of just made it all click together more.
Mm-hmm.
And then for like kind of moving into the season, our hope is to, you know, kind of continue this undefeated record. And we got some easier games in the schedule second half of the season, so hopefully we can just kind of get over this Almond Hill and then kind of
don't give these guys bulletin board material here. They'll be tuned in and say, hey, you called. No, but you're exactly right. Before I let Jason jump back in again, last season, was there a point where maybe it did come together for your guys? Because again, early on, you did take a couple of shots to the chin very quickly.
Yeah.
Then you did have the game at Almond, and then you were put in a position where, you know, the playoffs were looking a little bit iffy, even if you did run the table, but you were able to run the table. Was there a point last year where you felt like it was coming together for your group?
Yeah, I think it was definitely our homecoming game against Marion. We played really good that game. Our line just kind of started clicking for the first time. And then we kind of carried that throughout the whole year, especially I think after that week we had Wild Rose. And that was a really good week for us again. We kind of just started working together. And then we just kind of communicated more too. We just kind of just started working together.
Yeah. Awesome. So
the challenge of playing two ways, Newman Catholic, obviously, I mean, even before, you know, you lost Quincy, I mean, the numbers are not great because you're a small school.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the amount of boys that you do have out for the team is a very impressive number because you only have about 100 kids in the school. That's boys and girls.
Yeah.
The opportunities that you get at Newman, because, I mean, this has got to be fantastically fun and a challenge to be able to play both ways, to be part of every aspect of the game at Newman. Could you talk a little bit about that opportunity that you get playing at Newman Catholic?
Yeah, it's special, you know, because I guess I've been starting to play like my freshman and sophomore years. I was playing in varsity games when we would go up, and I don't know if I would be able to do that at every in school. So getting into those games late and just getting like varsity level experience early is something that I've always thought is like really unique with Newman and how we run our program. So that's always been really special to me. And then playing like both ways, it's awesome because, you know, you're tired after the game, you know, it's tough, but you know, you did it, you know, nobody else did it for you. So it's kind of this sense of like ownership and, you know, just getting the job done.
Yeah. And we talk about him a lot, and we will most certainly have him on the show at some point this year. Tell me about what it's like to play for Coach Micklegg.
It's awesome. He's like a second dad to me. Just with all the stuff that he does for us players and in and out of the football program from day-to-day stuff at Newman. He really cares. It's like we're a big family. So that's just really been awesome for me. And then off season, he's always, you know, helping out at practice, at weight room and stuff like that. So it's just been like this part of big family that I just love to be a part of.
Again, we're talking to New Catholic High School lineman senior Evan Graney here on the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. Let's step away from the football for a moment. Talk about at school. What's your favorite class?
Favorite class? Probably, okay, this AP Calc, probably.
Oh,
jeez. I'm a math and science guy, so yeah.
Fantastic. What are the, we talked about the aspect of football at Newman Catholic. What about academically? Do you feel like you get, as a small school, do you feel like there's a lot more one-on-one and advantages to that as well?
Yeah, definitely. You get some more attention from teachers if you ever have some questions or stuff like that. Doors are always open if you have any, you know, help with an assignment that you're not quite getting. They're always there for you. And they're just like your friend. You know, you can just go talk to them if you need any help with anything in school or just personal life stuff going on.
What do you like to do when you're away from football in the evenings? And I know football's a full-time thing and all that, but yeah. What do you like to, when you do have free time, what do you like to do?
Definitely like hang out with my friends, some video games probably here and there. But just kind of relaxing, hanging out with people I like to be around.
Are you involved in any other extracurricular activities at Newman?
Yeah, part of the ambassadors program, so we kind of go and do some public events, like public outreach stuff like that, and then part of NHS, so kind of also the same thing. Yeah. And then I was part of student council last year, but helping around at the school.
Do you have any ideas about going to college? Is that something you hope to do?
Definitely, yeah. Hope to go to college next year.
Have you had any ideas on either where you'd want to go or maybe a potential major? And again, we asked this.
Sure.
It's a silly question because you do have the time to make up your mind, but is there any ideas on that?
Definitely want to get out of Wisconsin. That's like a big thing that I'm kind of looking into. So right now, my top three are probably University of Tennessee, University of Alabama, and then University of Cincinnati.
Three. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So football's done. What's the next thing for you? What's not done now? When football's done, what do you do when football season's over?
Just start lifting over the winter, and then I'll probably get a job, make some money for college, and then hopefully we can get baseball going in the spring, and then we can have a baseball team. That or I'll do some track this year again.
Do you have a favorite rival? Somebody you enjoy playing.
Definitely Almond. Almond's a big one, yeah. I always like playing Almond.
Why would that be?
I just, you know, I want some revenge from last year especially, yeah. I just feel like it's a big game always because it's basically conference championship week too.
Early.
Yeah, the pressure's on to perform, especially early in the season where we're still kind of getting in the swing of things and running offense and defense.
I love it when our players come on each week and talk about their teammates. So tell me a little bit about your teammates, things that maybe just people listening to chat or watching the games might not know and what makes it such an enjoyable experience.
Sure. Everybody just kind of gets along. Damian Pent, Cooper Gould, going to give some shout-outs here.
Yep.
Griffin Pence, he's an awesome guy to just talk to and be around. He's always cracking jokes and stuff like that. Him and Quincy Fender probably can't be in the same room because they keep messing around in classes and stuff like that. But everybody gets along. Carson Rice, me and Carson Rice are good friends. Greg Zabrowski, like I said, Carson Callow. Just a whole crew of good guys to be around, yeah.
When we look to this week's game, you've been in preparation. It's still middle of the week. You still have some work to do.
Yeah.
You can practice this tomorrow and Friday before the game on Saturday afternoon. But based on what you saw last year, based on what you know about your team, based on what you know about this year's Almond Bancroft Eagle squad, what does your team have to do this week to be successful?
We got to shut down Aiden Phillips, especially on offense. We can't really let him get the ball too much. And then we got to make sure we don't really let anything outside. And that's going to be kind of key to winning the game is shutting him down and then getting some pressure from the D-line, get some 50-50 balls, and then hopefully get some picks.
Well, you talked all about stopping them.
Mm-hmm.
What about offensively? What do you have to do? Because obviously, again, I hate to use the term limited, but obviously, you know, maybe the pass offense won't be quite as dangerous, but I think that we saw a little bit last week that it could be possible.
Yeah.
What do you expect offensively this week?
You know, just to keep moving the ball constantly, stay ahead of the chains, keep the ball out of Almond's hands, don't give them really a chance to score, and then just keep melting the clock and running the ball.
We had Coach Tubbs on earlier tonight from Stratford, back-to-back state championships, championship caliber program. I consider Newman Catholic in that same regard, right? Championships, yeah. Championship caliber program. Question I asked him was, what coming off championships like that and being a program like of that level, what were his goals for the season when you come into a season like this? I'm going to ask you the same question. Coming into this season, what were the goals that kind of Coach Miklik had for you guys, but you guys as a team and players had for yourselves?
Yeah, especially for me, a big goal is to go undefeated this season and then, you know, definitely be a lock for the playoffs and make a run there is the big one for me. And then, of course, keeping everybody healthy and throughout the year and stuff like that. And you know, we didn't quite get there this year. They'll have to try next year. But yeah, just keeping everybody healthy and just playing good football every week.
Anything else before the final question?
No, that great job.
All right. We always wrap up our interviews with our student athletes with one final question, especially as a senior. Mm-hmm. And you've obviously gone through the process with Newman Catholic football for the last number of years. For maybe a freshman that is just starting their journey with this program, what piece of advice would you give them?
Treat every rep like it's your last, I guess, because that's something that I've kind of just been like, that's kind of been in my head this whole year is I'm a senior. This is my last shot. This is my last ride. So I've just been trying to, you know, take advantage of every single chance I get from, you know, and it's not just about, you know, playing football, hanging out with your team outside of school, bonding, you know, doing stuff on the weekends with those guys. You know, just all around making the most you can out of football because it is such a great sport. And it's brought basically every relationship with my friends that I have and made strong relationships for my whole life.
Fantastic.
Agreed. That's
Newman Catholic High School senior Evan Graney, again, a guest last night on the Big High School Sports Show here on WXCO. Cardinals and Albin Bancroft, Saturday, 12:35 pregame, 1 p.m. kickoff here on 98.9 WXCO. The time is 9:49. We will have our daily history lesson coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, the time is 9:51. Overcast skies in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 60 degrees. It is the fifth day of September of 2024. That means it is day number 249 of this year.
And there are 117 days left, is that correct?
That is perfectly correct.
Oh, nice.
So 117 days remaining until we flip to 2025, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1666, so some 350-some years ago, the Great Fire of London burned out after 3 days. 10,000 buildings, including St. Paul's Cathedral, were destroyed, but only 16 people are known to have died. On this date in 1774, the first Continental Congress assembles in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. On this date in 1997, Mother Teresa died of a heart attack in Calcutta, where she established her Missionaries of Charity order. She opened her first Calcutta slum school in 1949. She was 87 years old. On this date in 1999, Lazy Boy introduced its new Oasis recliner in Detroit, designed for TV football fans. The tilt-back chair was equipped with a telephone, heat, a massager, and a cooler large enough to chill a six-pack. So,
but why would you need a telephone if you have your cell phone already on?
Well, this was 1999, so back in the day when telephones were still very important to one's life. Again,
she seems pretty handy.
Yeah, so 25 years ago today, the Lazy Boy football Oasis recliners. And, of course, football gets underway again tonight with the Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. On this date in 2002, this one is odd. A man in Croatia sued his neighbor's dog after claiming it ate part of his Mercedes. The man told police that a 12-year-old dog ate parts of the hood and a bumper of the Mercedes. The dog's owner said there was no way it was his pet because it was tied up during the day and it had no appetite for a Mercedes or any other car. On this date in 2014, after hackers gained access to celebrity iCloud accounts, Apple announced it was putting new security notifications in place. On this date in 2019, a new theory stated that the Loch Ness Monster might be a giant eel after a DNA study revealed no plesiosaur or sturgeon DNA found. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthday today. Actor William Devane, many, many different shows. I remember him on 24. That was one of my favorite shows in the day. Also part of the cast of Jesse Stone. William Devane, 85 years old today. Michael Keaton, still going strong. In fact, Beetlejuice coming out. Or has it come out? I don't think it's come out yet.
It's tomorrow, actually.
So it does come out this weekend. So Michael Keaton, again, what a career. I mean, he has done so much. And, of course, he was Batman.
Yep. He was a vulture in the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, he's... the Birdman, I think, was what was that?
He won
an Oscar for that one, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that.
It's a good movie.
But Michael Keaton, Mr. Mom back in the day. I mean, he has just done comedy and drama and everything in between. Action, Michael Keaton, 73 years old today.
Happy birthday, Michael Keaton.
Actor Rose McGowan from Grindhouse and Citizen Rose is 51. Aaron Krakow from When Calls the Heart and Army Wives is 40. Emmy Raver, The Umbrella Academy, is 38. And Cat Graham from The Vampire Diaries, 35 years old today. Some special events. It is Shrink Day. It is Samosa Day. International Day of Charity. Be Late for Something Day. I don't know about that. And it's Cheese Pizza Day. I like stuff on my pizza, though.
So, can't go wrong with the classic cheese pizza, though.
Yeah, those are all the special events being acknowledged here today.
Nice.
All righty.
Number of the day. I'm ready.
It is time for the number for the day. For those of you new to us, every day we end our show by having our number for the day quiz. I give Ian Welsh three choices for our number for the day. Based on the math, he should get one out of three correct, so the goal every week is to at least have 33%. Anything under 33% correct is a failure. Anything above 33% passes, but we really want him to get more right than wrong to be a true victory week. But right now, he's one out of three, so in order to avoid failure, he has to get one of the final two correct this week, and in order to have a true successful week, you get both of them right.
So. Yes.
And what is the category today?
Hurricane.
Hurricane. One specific hurricane, in fact.
Okay.
On this date in 2017, on September the 5th, 2017, 7 years ago, Hurricane Irma became the most powerful hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic Basin region.
Irma.
What were the winds in Hurricane Irma?
Ooh.
What were the winds of Hurricane Irma on this date in 2017, the largest, most powerful hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic Basin region? Is it A, 185 miles per hour? Is it B, 215 miles per hour? Is it C, 245 miles per hour?
I gotta think about that one. So, 185, 215, or 245.
That is correct.
Okay.
Those are the three choices.
Hurricane Irma back in 2017. Okay. Well, hurricane winds are very powerful. So
yes,
they are. I'm going to go with C. I'm going to go with a 245 miles per hour. C is my final answer. C.
All right. Hurricane Irma, 2017. Most powerful hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic Basin with winds of 185 miles per hour.
Smallest number.
Yep, 185. Uh-oh, you're one for four. You're 25%. That's below the threshold.
I gotta get tomorrow right.
Tomorrow, I tell you, what a day it's gonna be tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we will be talking about the Wausau Festival of Arts. We'll have guests, the Festival of Arts here in downtown Wausau. We'll talk about it tomorrow, 8:34 a.m. 9:06, our special guest.
Yes.
Again, I will be announcing our guest on our my social media and on WXCO social media coming up in just over an hour. And then Paul Micklick at 9:20. And then at 9:56, can Ian Welsh salvage a passing week?
Well, I hope so.
Have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad.
We'll talk to you tomorrow here on Bull Falls Radio.